Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of this Skinny E Media podcast. May notice a bit of a change of change of routine today, as it is not Mark doing the introduction. That's because he's allowed me to pretty much bogart this entire podcast. I am Rob Bavister, otherwise known on Twitter as Bobatron or on YouTube as Citizen Snips. And I am, of course, co-hosting this podcast with Mark Saul, aka Skinny E Media. Say hi, Mark.
Hello, everyone.
And today, a break from movies as a start, and a break probably from the subject of the BBFC versus the MPA. We are today talking about the subject of video games or computer games, some people call them, or electronic entertainment. However you want to refer to them as, that is the subject of, well, today. Whether or not you're a PlayStation dude, an Xbox bro, or if you prefer the good old days of Sega versus Nintendo, be if you're an American who called it the Sega Genesis, or anyone else in the world who called it the Mega Drive, or if you're one of those PC Master Race cunts who no one else likes, but think they're better than everyone else, you know who you are. Don't pretend you don't exist. We're here to talk about what you guys enjoy, rather than films, for instance. Because this does involve censorship and ratings, much the same way films does, albeit with different boards at the helm. Let's sink our teeth into this issue. I am, of course, I've been playing video games since I was about knee-high to a grasshopper, and when I was way too young to know what my dick was for, and it's pretty much encoded onto my DNA now, as I suppose it is onto many of my fellow millennials, and some of the maybe younger Gen Xers older than me, like those in my oldest brother's generation, to say nothing of the younger millennials, and of course Gen Z, who are pretty much just, could be described as a digital generation. So Mark, this time I get to ask you the question. What is your history with the video game medium?
Quite limited compared to you, I'm afraid. But one of the first video games I remember getting was Muppets Pinball on Game Boy Advance. I must have got that back in like 2000 or 01. It must have been for my birthday at Toys R Us. Yep. We have a generation where we still remember that very shop. Sad that they don't have it anymore. And then I had a few. Ago, did it?
Sorry to interrupt. Toys R Us. We went then. Me and my brother and his girlfriend went there not too long ago to buy some toys for my nephew. So did it die out recently? Oh God, I'm gonna do some bloody surfing now. But no, while I'm doing that, you continue.
But yeah, quite limited experience. I remember having Muppets Pinball. That was one of the first games that I ever owned. As far as PC stuff is concerned, I've always sort of played it here and there. One of the earliest games I remember playing, I've been back at school, so it was like the Crystal Rainforest, or was it like called the Zumbinis? I don't know, remember what the titles were, but just out of curiosity for anyone who is listening, a lot of the video games that I've played have all been sort of in that 2000, 2001, all the way to 07, 08, perhaps. I never was really a big gamer, which is one of the reasons why I'm letting Rob take over on this podcast. And one of my favorite all-time games, this may sound pathetic to everyone, is actually past ELSPER 3 Plus or PEGI 3. ESRB, E for Everyone. SimCity 3000 on PC. If you're talking about PlayStation 2, I've always had a bit of a soft spot for Disney's Stitch Experiment 626. Got that like on my 10th birthday or something. And then Game Boy Advance. Actually, let's skip that. Let's just go with DS. The original DS, not 2DS, 3DS. Brain Age.
Oh, I don't know if I have played that game, but then again, a lot of these games may have been a bit, were never probably aimed at me.
But this was all in the 2000s, really. I mean, at that point, you would have been playing a lot of sort of like M-rated or PEGI 18, ELSPA 18 type stuff. Not the sort of kiddie crap I was into. I'm kind of vanilla in that respect, is that I'm probably one of the few people in my age bracket that has never owned an M-rated game or PEGI 18 or even 16 game. I've played a few, like Halo and Grand Theft Auto at people's houses and Call of Duty Black Ops, but that was it. I never owned it, never interested me. I don't like games where you shoot and kill people. They're not that interesting to me. I like stuff where you build. And they all generally tend to be in that sort of PEGI 3, PEGI 7 range.
Well, why wouldn't they be? They're not exactly, there's nothing particularly inappropriate in them, really, is there?
Well, not really. I mean, Sims, you know, it's got a bit of sexual innuendo. And then Singles certainly pushes the envelope on the sexual on the Sims.
Have you ever, this is probably a bit after those times anymore, but have you played Minecraft?
Ew, no, that's Gen Z. That's not my thing. Is it like Fortnite or Roblox?
It's like Roblox. It's like a lot of these building sort of things. It sounds like it would be really up your right up your street.
If you say so. The problem is I've never really had a PC game or video game since 2008, so I really don't know what is popular with the kids. But I've seen clips of Minecraft here and there on some places. It looks a little bit too 8-bit for my liking. If I want 8-bit, I go with Pac-Man and Space Invaders and Tetris. Yes, I like the old school arcade stuff. It's quite fun when you're playing it with the older generation, like your ma.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And you did bring up a lot of the ratings and ratings boards and everything during your little, I won't say diatribe, but your little mending way down the memory lane there. But which does bring up the interesting part. Well, is it interesting? Well, it's a thing I'm going to talk about anyway. Because whereas, like, other films, we're talking about films, we're comparing the MPAA versus the BBFC, among other boards. Of course, video games are not rated by them. Well, not by the BBFC anymore. They're rated by an alternative board. In America, it's rated by the Electronic Software Ratings Board, or ESRB for short. And on this side of the Atlantic, in all of Europe, it's rated by Pan-European Gaming Information, or EGI for short. And of course, they have, more or less, have like the MPA and BBFC, many other ratings boards have 5-tier ratings. But they kind of they may differ in terms of what they consider appropriate. The BBFC has rated video games in the past. They did it very rarely to begin with, but it became more and more frequent as time went on, which is probably why the government just decided, you know, sod it, stop having the BBFC do it, and just get Peggy to do it from now on, which is fine, I suppose. That actually wasn't legally enforced, but it is. But one thing I have actually noticed about the ESRB, like the MPA, because you mentioned the M rating, which is going to be their equivalent of the MPAA's R rating. But of course, like the MPA, it's got their AO rating, which is their equivalent of the NC-17. And in that, it is the equivalent of getting an 18 rating from either BBFC or PEGI or countless other ratings boards. And like the NC-17 in America, it's completely avoided by the like the plague. So it's really raised an eyebrows me, or made me ask a few questions of what is it about American society that makes them just really, really turn away or try to avoid anything that's rated for adults only?
It's probably a mix of two issues here. Money, they can't make as much because you have to now vigilantly observe people's identification. You know, I think with M-rated games, if you bring like your parent or something, you're more than welcome to get the game as long as you've got an adult by your side. And then also the pornography element. They probably assume that, oh, if it's 18 plus, it's probably smutty. But in all fairness, there pretty much isn't that much of a difference between AO and M. Violence-wise, you could probably show the same sort of shit. And maybe, you know, in terms of sex, I know that's a bit of a sort of no-go area for a lot of games. I don't know a lot of games that have sex scenes or full-blown nudity. It's kind of a bit of a rarity. There's no games I'm aware of that's got rape in it.
Well, I don't know about rape. Well, there was a game called Rapalay or Rapelay or something, which had a bit of a controversy. I don't know a huge amount about it, but it has irked a lot of people because it's got the word rape in title. I did think that the concept of pornography is a bit of a misstep on the American rating boards, because whereas most countries, or at least most films, have films rating boards, have two separate ratings, two separate adults-only ratings, one for films, another one for porn. You know, in Britain, we've got 18 and R18, Australia, R18 plus and X18 plus, Canada, R and A. So you can tell the difference. In America, they don't. So for films, they can never tell the difference between RoboCop and Debbie Does Dallas. And it comes back with games as well. Because they associate NC-17 with porn, they associate the AO with porn. And just like cinemas won't show films that carry the NC-17 rating, video game retailers won't stock any game that carries the AO rating. And just from an outsider looking in, it is fucking weird, because when a game is rated PEGI 18, it's a badge of honor, although granted, PEGI is so damn zealous that if it isn't rated 18, you always wonder if there's anything cool in it.
No, you've got a point there, but I would say that the field for PEGI 18 games is a lot more broad. You know, you have a game that's probably, you know, like Mass Effect, was passed 12 by BBFC, and it had like sci-fi violence and sex, rated M for mature. But in much of Europe, it was passed PEGI 18, which leaves you to wonder a little bit. And then on the other hand, you've got stuff like Hatred, which is the most prolific AR-rated game that I'm aware of, to where it had issues being released on Twitch or Stream. No, not Steam. Steam. But they ultimately released it through various sorts of alternative channels. It's actually quite popular, despite the rating and despite all the controversy about it, that it's promoting serial killer-type violence, it's misanthropic. You know, and that got a PEGI 18 uncut, so, you know, PEGI 18 is very broad. You know, the M rating is pretty broad too. I mean, I'm sure the same people who've played Hatred have played GTA San Andreas or Mad World. Or what's that one that's extremely violent? Lollipop Chainsaw. Like, fucking come on.
Lollipop Chainsaw was quite a violent game. It was released back when the BBFC was still giving games their ratings, and it did get an 18. There was quite a brutal game. Although, by the time 2012 had come along, which is the year that that BBFC stopped rating video games, there were so many video games were coming out with BBFC ratings. It was almost weird if your game didn't have one. So it was what I wonder. I mean, it was.
I want to interject your point there about the BBFC logos on games. Have you noticed, like, since around 05, maybe even late 04, how fucking ridiculously large they put on the covers, 15 or 18? It's almost a bit obnoxious. You know, they don't do.
Yeah, you're right, actually. They did seem a lot bigger on that than they were on video games or DVDs. Obviously, I didn't really give a shit, because if you can buy the game, you buy the game. Sometimes the fact that you and can buy it, other people can't, kind of get you see as a sort of badge of honor. But I suppose you're right.
Well, they probably did that because, as you well know, and this same goes with animation, kids love games. They'll watch and buy anything, even if it's not appropriate for them. And, you know, that led to a lot of controversies, like in the late 90s, saying, we got to crack down on these violent video games, these Mortal Kombats and stuff, which that's the game that actually launched ESRB. So thank you, Mortal Kombat, for fucking everyone's day.
Well, it's not that big a deal, but, well, I mean, it was Mortal Kombat and apparently another game called Night Trap, which hasn't really had quite an impact. But I mean, I can't. They did it to basically stop, ward off government regulation, which I can totally understand. And unlike ratings in most films, the ESRB ones are completely
they're not legally binding.
Yeah, which is kind of cool when you think about it, because the PEGI ones ever since 2012 now are. And of course, I've had my kind of gripes of how zealous PEGI games can be, because some of the games they're given 16 ratings to, which would obviously be very equivalent to a 15 rating by BFC, which makes them, really, when you think about it, the equivalent of an M rating from ESRB, when you think about it.
No, it's true. I mean, Fable. Is
well, Spider-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, the Avengers game, I think, had a 16 rating. The Blood Bowl games that came out recently had a 16 rating. It's like, considering, again, this is the equivalent of like an M rating, they're fucking way too zealous. I can imagine a BBFC wouldn't have given them that higher rating. There was also Persona 5, which I played back in 2017, which I fucking thought was great, and most people did anyway. That was only given a 60, but that actually was M rated in America. So, you know, I mean, they can be on the level, but yeah. To be fair, I don't know if I was going somewhere with that, but I mean, I'm just throwing trains of thought out there for people to reflect on.
No, but you're making some great points there, because on a sort of PEGI aspect of things, they're almost like 90s version BBFC or early 2000s BBFC, where
mostly 90s.
If you just showed even slight bit of blood, oh, you'll get an automatic 16 or 18 by PEGI. So I guess there's that trade-off. And, you know, when I think of the 16 rating particularly, I usually think of sort of mild M stuff like the Call of Juarez. And then a lot of the T stuff that was a bit on the heavier side, like Mirror's Edge and Mortal Kombat V, DC Universe. I shouldn't know all these titles, but I do. But on the flip side, before there came the E10 rating, where the next rating after E was T for teen, you had quite a few games that were past PEGI 7, I think even like Elspeth 3, like Simpsons Road Rage and Simpsons Hit and Run and in the Incredibles game. Those were passed as T for teen in the States, but we got lower ratings in Europe, so woo!
Yeah. We're getting that sort of thing, aren't we? Where like the lower rated ones are being more treated more leniently than the American ones, but the higher rated games are being treated more harshly. That's a good point. But yeah, because it was a PEGI. Yeah, it seems Hit and Run. PEGI was a 7, and Australia's a ACB, which still classifies games, is a G. And of course, T for teen in the USA, so equivalent of a PG-13. So you're very right. It got a B from Japan's Zero, or Kero, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. Fucked if I know what that means. I'm just gonna check. I'm just doing this on the on Wikipedia as we speak, which is very unprofessional of me. Oh yeah. It's a 12 and up, so kinda like the teen. Yeah, because Japan's Kero goes A, which is all ages, B, which is 12 and up, C, 15 and up, D, which is 17 up, and then Z, which is 18 and up. That's the only one which I believe is legally enforced. Everything else is just basically either advisory or basically must have parental consent in Japan. So
that sounds like the Hong Kong system or like Mexico. Probably. It's possible.
Yeah, possibly. We did mention Australia because we're going to talk about video game controversies and video game censorship. Britain has not that bad a record. It's got a bit of a naughty record in that sense. One game I remember from my youth is Carmageddon, where basically in order to be released, it had to be edited so that instead of running over humans, you're running over zombies for the BBFC to pass it. But again, the developers just put a little cheat code out so you could basically change it how it was originally designed. But then that's been overturned anyway, so that's the whole thing is completely and utterly really allowed. But in comparison to some other we haven't got that bad a record. In comparison to, say, Germany, Australia, and New Zealand, fucking Christ, we're almost a liberal paradise when it comes in, comes to video games. Fucking hell,
Robbie's right. I mean, for a long time, up until 2013, if a game got higher than MA-15, banned. And even when they brought the R-18, they still banned quite a few games. Though even for adults, and were past M for mature, so... You're saying...
Oh, I mean, yeah, I mean, and it's not just like games that you'd think would be absolutely grim as fuck, like that Hatred game or something, Grand Theft. Well, maybe Grand Theft. Or stuff like that. I mean, they banned Saints Row game, they banned the 2011 Mortal Kombat. Shit, if you just go onto bloody Wikipedia and type in game banned in Australia, you're going to get quite a few. Fallout 3 was almost banned until they changed something in it. They had a bit where a character can take morphine to reduce pain or something, or some, or a reduced damage reduction, that's it. And basically they said, we're not allowing that until you freaking change it to something else. And they changed it to the fictional Med-X, which anyone who plays Fallout 3 will understand what I'm on about. And then, yeah, it got passed through. And, of course, that got sent around the world. So thank you very much, ACB. And I believe another game called We Happy Few, which was almost was banned there as well, until it, well, wasn't. So, I mean, there was one game that was banned in Britain recently called Omega Labyrinth Z. Because basically a Video Standards Council, who are ultimately get the final say on what games get applied in Britain, but generally speaking they just go with whatever Peggy just says and just apply the Peggy, and it didn't allow it to go because they thought that one of the characters in it was a minor and they were clearly being sexualized, so they refused to allow it a certification. Opinions on that aside, I suppose of all the reasons to forbid a certification, that's the most agreeable, I would say, if you could ever agree on that for anything. I mean, I am quite the hardcore libertarian, as I've probably given been banned in Germany, Australia, New Zealand, and Ireland, because, hey, if it's banned here, it's going to be fucking banned in those places. But, you know, flipping heck, I mean, but we are, the last game we banned, or tried to ban, was Manhunt 2. Which, of course, originally in America was given an AO, and just for its gruesome violence and everything, and that AO rated version was completely refused classification by the BBFC, and in fact, Cutting Edge did an episode on this. Anyway, they edited it down to tone down some of the killing machines. Eventually, got an M rating from the ESRB. When it's sent to the BBFC again, this censored M rating, the BBFC still refused classification, and they took, so the distributors appealed it to the board, the board that they appeal things to, and it was like the 9 judges on a vote of 5-4 basically sided with the distributors and simply said, yeah, you're going to have to you're going to have to rate this game, did this, you cannot refused for classification. So even its toned down form, it only got released in Britain because the BBFC had their hands tied.
I heard about that many years ago. I mean, legally I wasn't allowed to buy or play it, but I heard about it and I thought, I didn't know a video game could be that violent to where they could still ban it on some respects. So, because the only other game I could sort of put as a reference point was like Grand Theft Auto, which I thought was this, at secondary school, I thought it was this really dangerous, inappropriate game that I thought kids will play and want to shoot and kill people and do drug dealing. But in all fairness, Grand Theft Auto is probably vanilla compared to like Manhunt 2. And they're
Oh,
from Rockstar, the
oh
same
yeah.
game distributor.
Yeah. I mean, Rockstar likes to do it. So I haven't played Manhunt 2. I did play the first one back in 2003. It is fucking sick. Whereas Grand Theft Auto is an incredibly violent game, which does have a lot of drug abuse, a lot of banging strip hookers and everything, a lot of violent crime of just mowing people down. It is incredibly tongue in cheek. I mean, you cannot take it that seriously. I remember one time I was around my brother's flat with my other brother, my two parents, and he started playing it on his screen. My two boomer parents were watching it, and even though they can be quite they tend to flutter between being conservative and being liberal at times anyway, we're just watching it and bursting out laughing because it's just so freaking silly and ridiculous. It's done with such a comedic tone, and you have to ask yourself if anyone takes it seriously. You gotta think, ask questions about them. But no, Manhunt is very, very played straight, very serious, and it is almost like you're watching, you're at playing a video. Well, what would have been seen as a video nasty in the 80s, and well, yeah, or like because the whole thing is that the you're starring in a snuff film and everything, and well, I don't really know what else to add to it, really. It is pretty damn sick. They even have, like, when you kill a body, you even see rats and crows go and eat it. So I make of that one. So, yeah, reflect on that. I didn't, if Manhunt 2 was worse, I don't even want to begin to imagine.
Well, I will say this. I don't really play games that much, but I have seen the uncut footage of Manhunt 2 and also for the Punisher game that were also going in a bit of trouble with the censors in
Yeah, I
both
was going to bring that up.
countries. It is quite brutal. We're not talking about sort of Elfin Lied territory. We're talking about, let's say, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. The only thing that makes it a little bit more feasible people is that there's no rape. If there
You broke up a
was,
bit.
a lot more
Yeah,
people would be angry about it.
Mark. You broke up a bit there, just to let you
Yep.
know.
Don't worry, I'll repeat myself. If there was rape, a lot more people would be angry about it. But a lot of people were still angry about Manhunt 2. And I've seen the uncut footage. And it's almost like sort of Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer type territory was stepping in. Never play these types of games in front of your mother or your grandmother. I think she'd have a heart attack. It's one thing to play Halo, but.
Well, Halo's hardly a frickin' I mean, Halo's just ridiculous sci-fi action. You can't really compare the two. And I just looked up
The M
and
rate,
I
so that's why I'm.
well, anyhow, just looked up Manhunt in frickin' on IMDb. Yeah, banned in Germany, banned in Malaysia, banned in South Korea, given an R in Canada, at least in Ontario. Originally banned in. Oh no! It was originally passed with an MA rating in Australia. Then a year later, they just completely banned it. Nice to know Australia's ACB can be very consistent. Sorry, again,
Okay.
you're very fake. Dude, I can't make out what you're saying.
Oh, that was just me laughing.
Yeah. But no, I'm totally get. I mean, I'm just going to look up Manhunt 2 on here to see what that did, because just to show how I prepared really well for this podcast. I mean,
I'm letting you steal the show here.
well, you said you haven't really got. Yeah, so banned in Germany, originally banned in Ireland, banned in Malaysia, no surprise there. banned in Saudi Arabia. Well, fucking no surprise there. Banned in South Korea. Don't say what it was in Australia, but I'm going to say completely fucking banned there. I mean, that is probably one of the most worst instances of video game censorship in, well, I say recent memory. I don't know what hatred got in most of those countries.
From what I was told about hatred, some companies didn't want to submit it officially to certain governments' rating systems. So more or less, it's been sort of an underground game that's been released on alternative channels. I'm sure there's probably people who've pirated it or torrented it online.
Let's be. I mean, it was banned in Austria and Germany. Again, no surprise. Surprisingly enough, not banned in Australia. Well, fair play. Them. But yeah, that's, I mean, weird. But yeah, list. I'm gonna just Google list of them.
But yeah, my experience with violent video games, you know, one of these sort of FPS, that's what you call it, first person shooter. They're not that's really correct, yeah. Stuff I really connect with, as far as like playing the console is concerned. I like action movies and horror films sometimes, but I don't like FPS stuff because you can't use your imagination. So if you're talking about, you know, sort of more outre, controversial stuff, if anything, I probably would have played Leisure Suit Larry if I have been more wild enough to have even bought a copy of Leisure Suit Larry on PS2 or Playboy, the video game.
I did play his 2004 game, Magna Cum Laude. Nice pun there. Back in 05 or anything. Yeah. Luckily, outside of America, we did... Well, because that was banned in Australia. That was released uncensored, I think, in the rest of the world. But, of course, America had to be toned down just to get release of an M rating.
Yeah, I heard about that and I thought, well, it's probably no different than something like Porky's or American Pie in terms of the sexual humor. Sounds like
there are finicky. There are shagging scenes actually in it.
Well,
and it's not full on hardcore porn, but it is kind of. So, well, I suppose it might consider hardcore porn. Well, it depends judge that. I mean, again, it's all like cartoonish pixels and everything, so it's, I mean, not probably going to be most hentai. But there's a lot of strong sexual stuff in it.
Well, of course. I mean, if anything, it's like the video game equivalent of it's like a more X-rated Johnny Bravo, because Johnny Bravo, he was like obsessed with trying to get laid. I'm sure Legend of Zelda was like that. Ooh.
One way look at things. Are you able to get onto Wikipedia, actually, Mark?
Yes. What do you want me to search?
List of video games banned in Australia.
Here we go. Be careful about Wikipedia, children. It's not always fully prepared for information, but...
It's a lot better than it used to be. I remember back in like the 2000s, and it was just so unproperly moderated. They've actually made an effort to actually properly moderate it now. So, yeah, you can trust it a lot more than you could back in my day. Put it that way.
I'll take your word for it. No, I remember using Wikipedia since 2006, 2007. So. When we got a broadband in our house, Blade Runner Enhanced Edition banned for paedophilia, Wasteland 3 banned for drug use. What on earth is all this? Hotline Miami 2 banned for rape. What?
One of the ones I saw is South Park, The Stick of Truth, and of course, oh man. Yeah, that's a hot potato. Well, that's a hot button. Do you know the story behind that?
I heard about there's some joke about abortion or something gets a probe up someone's ass and they had to censor it for Australian and New Zealand markets, but US version's uncut, and I think European version's uncut. Correct me if
So,
I'm wrong.
well, I will. Okay, it was the anal probing and the abortion scenes were required to be cut for Australian release. I don't know about New Zealand and everything, maybe.
They banned it
Apparently,
too.
well, I mean, essentially, they had to cut it out in order to like get around. Apparently, with Europe, they well, I know they did this. They cut out those scenes in Europe as well. The problem is, though, is that it wasn't necessary. The thing could have been released completely uncut and had a PEGI 18 rating. I think Ubisoft were trying to get a PEGI 16 rating, and so cut thought that was what irked them, so removed it. But it didn't work though because it still got a PEGI 18. And of course, I think Parker and Stone have always said that, oh, we were told we had to remove it to get it released at all. PEGI, of course, fired back and said that's not true. The hot and completely uncut 18 rating was available. They, for some reason, chose to cut that scenes out. We don't know why. It did not affect the rating in any way.
Yeah, that's strange, really. But I have a theory on this a little bit. Correct me if I'm
Okay.
wrong. PAL. Australia and New Zealand uses the PAL system. US Canada uses NTSC. So there was probably just like a weird digital transfer that they had to do at the last minute, and they probably couldn't and edit it to NTSC from NTSC standards. So they just kept the PAL version uniform for all territories that use that video quality thing.
Could be. I mean, I think France does work on a slightly different one, although it does use PAL.
It's SECAM, but it's quite similar to PAL. PAL.
Yeah, it could be. I have heard that PC players in Europe have managed to download the completely uncut version, but unfortunately, console players in Europe are kind of stuck. And it's just like, it's so pointless anyway, because you can just look at the offending material on YouTube. It's completely available. So, what the fuck was the point? Well, like I say, PEGI didn't. Well, by then, PEGI are completely not to blame for this. I mean, PEGI have even said, we don't ban video games. We can't ban video games. I mean, we just apply ratings to them.
I wish other countries would get the memo on that there, but I guess Germany and obviously UK are probably the two outliers in this one. Germany does not use PEGI, they use USK, which
Oh,
is an offshoot of FSK. You probably know this even more than I do.
Oh, Christ, yeah, we're going to, yeah, we gotta, we can't have, we can't not talk about them. Germany hasn't adopted PEGI, probably because they have their own censorship laws, which, oh boy, they are fucking stringent on. I mean, generally now, generally a lot of it is basically not allowing depictions of Nazi symbology, which, okay, I kind of can understand why Germany wouldn't want to do that. I mean, allow it in like art, but like films, which are considered to be art, but of course, video games they don't consider to be art. So, pretty much, Wolfenstein games have either been heavily censored or banned outright. But even just general reactions to general violence in video games, in well, in general, Germany comes down in a way that is just completely fucking, well, make the Daily Mail go, Christ, steady on, mate. I mean, I remember there's this video game from, well, from years ago. You know, I mean, I'm just trying, yeah, well, Christ, the year I was born, actually, called Contra. Don't know if you've heard of it.
Is it something to do with Iran-Contra scandal, Ollie North and Reagan? What's this different?
Well, not really. It's about actually, it's not about that at all. Basically, it's just about your bunch of commandos. You go around basically blowing shit up, basically. Anyway, it. I. How do I mention it? It's. It was just completely and utterly just because of places Germany wouldn't allow it to be releasing its skates, but they had to rename it to Probotector. And I'm not entirely sure why. Although, again, if you look up Wikipedia, it'll probably tell you. So, yeah. This version redesigns a human protagonist and some of the era characters to give them a robotic appearance. And this was done to circumvent the BPJMs, with a lowercase j, that is, censorship laws in Germany, which prohibits the sale of violent video games to minors. Subsequent Contra games for all home consoles followed suit, all being released in the PAL region under the Probotector title and featuring similar modifications. Beginning with Contra Legacy of War, Konami abandoned the Probotector title and localized all most of the other games with minimal change. And it's obviously the two stringent countries with regards to video game censorship are Germany and Australia. In fact, I'm just typing in again.
I know, it's all right, but I'm actually kind of surprised, really. But I know Deutschland has always had a bit of an issue, not only with violence, but also Nazi symbols and iconography. I know Wolfenstein, Das Neue Arden, has a lot of sort of imagery that would probably be co-appropriated by sort of right-wing fascist groups if careful.
Anything that involves Nazi symbols, they do just like straight up ban or at least demand censorship of. I mean, again, I don't agree with that philosophy, but I at least understand why they'd be doing it. Germany is really not going to want to have Nazi symbols going away in a way that couldn't be described as artistic merit or something, and they don't consider video games to be art. That's a dickish position to take, but whatever. But I mean, it's not just that. I mean,
no, but in all fairness,
I mean, as Dead Rising 2 was banned in there for the District Court of Bautzen in 2011 for violating German Criminal Code Section 131, depictions of violence. Again, you're going to want to type in list of banned video games by country in Wikipedia and then scroll down to Germany. And condemned criminal origins has been fucking banned as well. The 2011 Mortal Kombat was banned. It does get pretty bad. I mean, I'm just going on to UK, and so far the only five that have ever been seemingly banned are Carmageddon, as I mentioned earlier, Manhunt 2, which I mentioned earlier, Mega Labyrinth Z, again mentioned earlier. That was banned in the other four countries I mentioned, which stopped the distributors from even releasing it in the West. The Punisher, and again, like Carmageddon, Manhunt 2, and Punisher was like edited down to like make it more palatable. And there was a game called Sex Fixins from Space, which was not actually submitted to the BBFC, but in 1989, official shipments of copies were seized by customs and destroyed in order to protect the youth of today. whether or not is it still is the case, I don't know.
Sex Fixins from Space. That sounds like some sort of dirty Japanese cartoon I've seen. I won't name names, but...
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know if that ban was then overturned or anything. It was only released in 1988 or anything. So remember who was Prime Minister then? Yeah. I mean, there is only one video game that's been banned in the US. Again, video games are protected by the First Amendment over, so banning. Cool. There was a game called The Guy Game.
Oh, I heard about this. It's because there was an underage person that they didn't know exactly the age, but they put it in anyways, and that got into some legal issues involved because the person was at least like 16, not 18.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, that's probably a reason as anything to ban a video game, because let's face it, free speech as sure as hell does not cover child pornography. I think we can all agree on that.
I think that, you know, whether you're liberal or conservative, most people can get on board with something like that. Although that does leave debate regarding David Hamilton's work. He's a photographer that's done some quite lewd photo books involving 12-year-old girls naked. That's another story, but yeah, I get what you mean. But yeah, as far as games are concerned, I'm looking at the Germany one right now. The Mortal Kombat thing does not surprise me at all. And then obviously Manhunt and Hatred. I would have thought they would have had an issue with Mad World, because that there's been a bit of talk about that game particularly because it's Nintendo. It got on the Wii service, and Nintendo is usually viewed as a more family-friendly type of game console. And I believe that one is probably the one of their most violent video games that they ever released on that platform.
I do remember controversies surrounding it, Daily Mail calling for it to be banned. Like most calls for the Daily Mail to ban things, it fell on deaf ears because, let's face it, by the end of the 20th century, I think most of the ratings boards and most of the public were very sick in their back teeth of ever having to, like, listen to those kind of things. Of course, not being having a Nintendo or a Wii, I couldn't have never played Mad World. Naturally, because they wanted to ban it, I wish I had. But then again, I didn't play Manhunt 2, so make of that. Well, that's probably because I didn't really care about playing the first Manhunt.
Well, I wanted to interrupt you there. I've got two questions. One, what type of game consoles did you actually have? Because I know you're a PlayStation guy. And then two, you ever heard of the State of Emergency? That was a Rockstar game.
Yeah, I played it back in 02. Basically, I've just been a PlayStation dude pretty much from a go. I mean, both my brothers each separately owned a PlayStation, which I both got back in 1997. And that was actually the first games console in our family we've ever actually had. Then since then, I've pretty much been sticking to PlayStation, where I got a PlayStation 2 for my 16th birthday. Then I just went through 3, 4, 5. My brother Dave switched to Xbox and everything, and he got himself a GameCube. So no, I think he got the GameCube first, then the Xbox later. I can't quite remember. So yeah, that was fun. Then of course he also did get himself an Xbox 360. So but it did help us verify some games, because he got to play Gears of War, although he never got the Halo games, which, let's face it, always one thing I always wanted to get for the Xbox. Being jealous about the Xbox was that they got to play Halo.
All my mates are all sort of Xbox and Nintendo people. And actually, weirdly enough, Halo, I believe, was one of the first games I remember seeing, or at least playing just a little bit. And I must have been, you know, I certainly was not 16. I'll tell you that. That was one of the first sort of M-rated Peggy Elspeth 16, 15 games I remember playing. So, yeah. But in all fairness, Halo probably would be like a T for teen nowadays. I mean, the new Halo game is all T for teen anyways.
Well, very probably. I mean, you're talking about, and of course, one of the things that always, just want to think of, like, other, is it, and it's always the FPSs that, well, and probably the crime simulators like Grand Theft Auto, that come down with the most controversy, because those are ones that always, like, come under fire whenever a mass shooting happens in a country that I shan't name, but it starts with A and rhymes with Blumerica.
I know half of me is American. I got bullied at school every time something bad happens in that country. It happened a lot during George Bush. And I tell them, well, what's Tony Blair doing?
It happened under Clinton as well. Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, Well, I'm clean as well, because Columbine happened and everything. And of course, every time they always bring up like video games, because back then it was Doom, then they went to Call of Duty, but just saying, God, well, he just sits there playing video games and they're so violent and everything. And of course, they bring up that the killer played video games. It's like, yeah, because he's a young guy and young guys play video games. Saying he had a video games console and video games is like saying he had a fucking toothbrush. I remember basically when I was. That shit used to be around here as well. I think we've sort of toned it down a little bit because we don't have so much gun violence, so we haven't really got to talk about. But I remember one time when I was in year seven, when I was 12, me and we were in a science class of all things, and we were talking about like how much we used to like playing certain video games and a thing, and mainly the violent ones. And of course, our teacher just went on a right freaking ranted us and saying, oh, people play all these video games. That's probably what causes them to go and do something like and Blaine. And I thought that was fucking stupid then, and it's fucking bollocks now. I mean, and it's on reflection. It's like, this was our science teacher. She's supposed to be an objective, evidence-based rationalist who, like, goes where the evidence points and not on feeling. And, of course, there is fuck all evidence to back up the claim that consuming violent media makes you violent in real life. I mean, I watched a video on YouTube recently by Adam Conover. Have you heard of him?
He's a good man. Adam ruins everything. I've seen a lot of his videos.
Yeah, he even did like a video attacking this claim that video games make people violent, and he's saying they've done studies into this, and like while there may have been like when playing really violent video games, it may have caused an increase in aggression. That increase is only temporary, and certainly not going to certainly does not transpire after the freaking video games are over. But also, it also depends on how they were actually measuring aggression, because, you know, do they mean like full-on aggression as would kill someone, or basically something like would just be snarky towards someone? I can't remember exactly the words I said. You can watch it on YouTube and it will tell you about it. But I mean, and of course, back then it was Doom or Duke Nukem or something like that. Now it's freaking like Call of Duty, and of course I think Doom might have been one of the earliest 15 rated video games back when age ratings on video games were quite a rarity. And of course Duke Nukem came out bad in 18 due to the swearing and pornography, even though said swearing and pornography is kind of so mild as to like not even be warrant mentioning. And of course one of my first video games I actually bought. I say I bought. It was paid for with my money, but I had to get my brother to buy it for me. It was, of course, Resident Evil, which I had a 15 as well. That's why I got my brother to buy it for me.
Well, I mean, with Ghost of the Shell, I managed to just buy it completely straight because my height. I was quite tall at 13, but you, I could see that.
Well, at 12, I was barely about 5 feet tall. So, you can appreciate I had to, and I don't think my ball. When I had my balls dropped by then? I have no freaking idea. I remember my balls dropped when I was 12. I don't know if by the summer of 1997, I had actually, but I didn't dare risk it. So I got my brother, who was 3.5 years older than me, to go buy it for me. Yeah. And of course, I totally forget that game has actually run into censorship in itself because for its Western release. Because why the original Japanese version, people forget, is actually a Japanese video game, even though it seems more like an American one, was much more gruesome. They had to in order to get a 15 in Britain rather than an 18. And an M in America rather than AO, the opening cinematic had to be changed from color to black and white. they tone down, they cut out half the scene where one of the character Joseph gets attacked by these mutant dogs, gets heavily toned down. I mean, they don't see him getting bitten or see the blood spurts from them when they shoot the Cerberi. Right? That's what the creatures are called, by the way, Cerberus or Cerberi for plural. And of course, most of them egregiously, or most pathetically, but I think this is more about America than it was about Britain or Europe. There was a scene where the character Chris, in the cast roll call at the end of a cinematic, it was very, very cheesy, and it's not surprising they didn't carry this over to the following games. Smokes a cigarette, which had to be some footage from the intro edited over just to block it out again to get the ratings that they wanted. No, I shit you not, that was what the case was.
I have never heard something like that in my life. If anything, when they intervene with tobacco consumption, it's usually on children's programs, or like you can't advertise it in TV and cinema. Okay, that's just bizarre. Now I'm going to start laughing in my sleep about that. But in all fairness, let me just prove you something.
Yes?
Americans tend to view people who smoke cigarettes as the bad guys, while in, let's say, France, or maybe Germany, it's just the way of life. It's a culture thing.
I suppose you're right. I mean, I think it was more the again, rambling a bit. Yeah, I'm guessing it was more for America, because again, they probably did see the video games as kids' entertainment or anything as such. You couldn't dare glamorize alcohol or tobacco. I guess nowadays it'd probably be something there might be a little more cooler about it. But yeah, they say people today are too sensitive, but no, back then they fucking were. In fact, if you're able to go into IMDb, Mark.
Yes.
If you ever go into IMDb and type in in search Resident Evil 1996, it will get you the video game. And when you're in there, scroll down to the alternative versions.
Okay, ding, ding, ding. Version of Director's Cut was marketed as only containing the same FMV footage as the original version, but only contained the censored footage as the previous US version. This was a localization error done by the developers.
Mark, I'm going to have to stop you there. I think you might want to go down to the next one.
Oh, this is the one where it says here. Here we go. The third and final FMV that was changed was Chris' bad ending, which was reshot so that Chris is no longer shown smoking, as Sony forbids any sort of glorification of tobacco consumption, despite the fact that Sony has no problem with them. Virgin's PC port is the only version in the US that contains the FMV intact, with the opening intro being shown in color. What?
Oh, yeah. And I say most notable of all is the live action opening intro, in which shots of corpses during Chris's narration has been replaced by new newspaper pages. The decapitated hand found by Joseph is also shown briefly, and Joseph's death scene, in which he fights and shoots a zombie dog in the eye before being mutated, was shortened. I'm not going to go into it, but yeah, of course, that was an example of some video game censorship video game censorship in its original form. Of course, YouTube channel I do watch now is called Censored Gaming. Again, you probably don't watch it, but if anyone does watch this, and who the hell has listened to this, I don't know, you should really consider watching watching it, because it does, if you haven't done it already, because it does give you a good insight into edits made to video games. I don't know what we're calling really censorship, to be honest. It's more just localizations more than anything else, because I don't know if these things are actually mandatory. They're certainly not done by law. Even the most recent Final Fantasy game, which was edited for Western release after outside of after being released in Japan, and like the dialogue, the English dialogue, while it had more swearing, it had less references to sexual assault and everything. So difference in values and everything, but that does happen in a lot of video games that come to the West. I mean, I think a lot of early Nintendo games like Castlevania had to have like because to fit in with Nintendo's family-friendly image, had to have religious symbols removed so as not to offend the average religious person, especially the Christians.
So the big lobby in the US, the evangelical lobby, like you go through Tennessee like I did. Oh boy. But it's almost like the whole sort of bolderization and censorship that they did on stuff like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon, which are animes I hated growing up. I don't know why people were obsessed with them, but they had to trim out a lot of the sort of religious references and stuff on that just to make it appealing to middle America. But who in middle America is watching anime?
Their kids might be. Well, the kids might be curious and want to watch it. And of course, their parents, if they're going to be more conservative, and let's face it, they are probably going to be walking when their tits off, they hear like little Johnny, you know, he hears, well, even the word damn or something.
Well, you can't even say, oh my God, on like Nickelodeon, like SpongeBob. I thought, okay, because it's a U, sometimes PG, you can say, oh my God. Nope, you can't say that. You have to say, oh my gosh. I mean, that's silly. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It does get a little silly, I have to admit. I mean,
but like you said about the localization, sorry to interrupt you, that happened a little bit with it's both a Reigns issue and a localization, Fahrenheit. Not 451 or 9/11, but it was a German game called Fahrenheit, which they called Indigo Prophecy for the US.
I remember. Yes.
And
yes.
They had to give it an AO because of a sex scene. But ultimately, they re-released it again in its uncut form, calling it Fahrenheit, Indigo Prophecy, Director's Cut. And it got an M for mature, uncut. So that's probably one of the few instances where I've ever heard them sort of rescinding their decision. That caught me by surprise.
Yeah, so remember that. Yeah, that did have to be cut. Because in Europe, they did get the uncut version, which was rated 15 by the BBFC. But in America, it did have to be toned down to avoid an AO rating. So that's... So I guess we're going to look at our perspective. I remember I played a game called The Getaway in... around about 2002, so 2003, which is kind of like a GTA clone, only in a sort of Cockney gangster sort of setting, set in London. And boy, made it look be as realistic as possible, complete loads of product placement. And of course, that had to be apparently toned down in America as well to avoid an AO rating. So we never know how much has to, due to their silly attitudes towards certain ratings, how much Americans could be missing out on. But of course, I find out that because I mentioned it in our previous in our episode about French cinema, because that Fahrenheit was done by David Cage.
Oh, he did that. I thought it was a German game.
No, French. Quantic Dream. As a French. Froggy as possible. It's not surprising that might have irked the Seps the wrong way. But I heard that his game Beyond Two Souls had to be toned down in Europe to get a a 16 from Peggy rather than an 18, although that's not turning up on IMDb, so that's kind of weird.
Well, I mean, you know, there's no sort of commercial stigma surrounding Peggy 18. In fact, here's the funny thing. Despite the age restrictions, most of the popular games that you see talked about everywhere are M or Peggy 18. Like, I mean, what 14 or 12-year-old hasn't played BioShock or what's that one? Call of Duty, which is a series of games that I just can't stand. There's too many of them. It used to be a straightforward war game. Now it's just this flashy cyber warfare nonsense that looks like a recruitment game for the army. That's why I think most of these FPS games are recruitment tools.
The Call of Duty is just basically almost like military-industrial complex propaganda. I mean, I don't play them. I also just couldn't get into the whole culture of playing it online while some 12-year-old boy calls me a racial slur over the, or ableist slur over the headset and probably makes lewd comments about my mother. But
I know what you're talking about.
When I think about FPSs, the one that's basically been one of the best ones in recent years would be the 2016 version of Doom, which is sort of like a reboot of the whole genre, and it was just back to basics while updated for one time. And it was gratuitously violent, but it was all like a dual middle finger in it. It was a middle finger to the moral guardians who piss and moan about video games being too violent. But also, it was an alternative, another middle finger to the developers who try to use violence as a means of being edgy, like the freaking Call of Duty developers. And freaking those who developed Hatred. Because they were just saying, dude, we can be more twice as violent as you ever are, and we're not even fucking trying. And it is basic. And you don't take it seriously, because you're just killing all these freaking demons from hell who just don't have souls or aren't sentient. They're just walking husks of fire, blood, meat, and evil that exists for nothing more than your character. You just unleashes rage upon and just uses a bullet sponge.
Well, that sounds a little like a video game version of Shoot 'em Up, which on the surface looks like it's the dumbest thing ever, but it's actually, because I've interviewed the filmmaker on the YouTube channel, it's actually kind of satirical and makes pot shots at sort of gun fetishism that you see in movies and sort of Hong Kong action cinema. But game I really wanted to bring up, not to interrupt you, is Modern Warfare 2. Now, with the Ukraine war, I think showing that really brutal scene of a bunch of Russian people being shot in an airport is probably erection-inducing. Like, yeah, let's kill all these Putin lovers. I've seen the footage of it. I was like, now gaming gets political. I don't know. I got a bit of a sadistic glee out of watching that. Sorry. Well,
gaming has always been political. I mean, Modern Warfare was an offshoot of Call of Duty, and they've just become two separate things. And I've never played any of them, and I can't stand them. I just hear too much about them. And it's just like, why can't you just be shooting demons from hell and have done with it? But that, I digress.
Well, it's not the recruitment tour. It's the Russians being killed at the airport that was like caught my eyebrow.
That was quite a controversial scene. That was one of the most controversial scenes about in a video game right after the hot coffee mod of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
We talked about on the crime podcast. That it was a little bit of a cheat, but then it bumped it up to AO and they had to fiddle around with it the last minute just to get it back to M. So,
fucking hell, whatever ridiculous thing. Again, though, the way I see it is just like that's America's stupid attitude towards an adults only rating rather than anything else. Because, but in terms of video games being political, I mean, they've always had some sort of politics. I played a game called Destroy All Humans back when I was in college, and it was re-released recently. Re-updated.
Is that alien video game?
Yes.
It looks and, hilarious.
Yeah, it's hilarious, but to say it's not political would be stupid. They just constantly take the piss out. It's obviously from a very left-wing perspective. It's routinely taking the piss out of fucking the right wing in America. At one point, though, I found it to be quite dated because one of the bad guys mentions the phrase "Project for a New American Century," and I don't know if you're familiar with that term.
Oh, I am. Bush era.
Yeah.
Conspiracy.
Yeah, because it was originally because it originally came out in 2005, when of course the Bush administration was at its peak, and and of course a lot of that was quite a point of interest and everything, and it was making a lot of people ask questions or wonder about the Bush administration. Now, when you look, when it came out in, I thought, was it, when's the re-release, 2020, 21? I can't fucking remember. You look at it and you just think, oh, that hasn't aged it very well. When you hear someone say Project for New American Century now, you expect them to follow up the phrase jet fuel can't melt steel beams, which enough said about that.
Yeah, I don't know what that reference is. I know it's, some of the
it's regarding the 9/11 conspiracy theories.
Oh, Neil Armstrong's and stuff like that. I know about the globalists.
It's kind of stuff in the documentary. I say documentary. I'm doing the finger quote thing. Loose Change and what Alex Jones would rattle on about. But, it's complete bullshit. But also,
what about State of Emergency? Because that was essentially a satire on World Trade Organization protests in Seattle.
And, Rockstar. Yeah, I didn't pick it up when I was 17 and I played it. I totally forgot to play. Yeah, I did play State Emergency. It was okay, but I didn't get very far of it. But Rockstar do a lot of satire in their games. I mean, you listen to you actually play the Grand Theft Auto game, then you actually pay attention and listen to the listen to what's being said, or listen to stuff on the radio and everything. It's like, Jesus, they're not even being subtle about it. Because Rockstar isn't an American thing. It might be an American thing, but it's mostly made in Britain. I think most of these games are designed in Edinburgh, and some very British or even European sensibilities are being slipped into the games. And yeah, right-wing America is endlessly satirized in it.
Hey, I appreciate that. I mean, you know, Kick-Ass, people think it's American, but it was actually made by a Scotsman named Mark Miller, and obviously Matt Vaughan made the films. And you wouldn't pick up on it on surface value, but if you grew up in the UK, you might pick up on some of the, you know, because the girl says cunt. That's a very British word, as well as some of the cheekiness about the whole thing. You think, okay, I kind of get where you're coming from. So I get that analogy there, and I know people from Scotland, they could be quite a wee cracking bunch, kind of slightly a wee tatter or two. Oh, sorry for the stereotype.
All that aside, I mean, it's the point I was getting at, a lot of people complain nowadays that games are becoming too political and everything. When I say a lot of people, I mean neckbeards on YouTube. Not us, we're cool. But yeah, neckbeard incels on YouTube. And did you ever? There was a lot of complaints about the fact you could make your character transgender in Cyberpunk 2077.
I'm not seeing that really, because most of the games I'm aware of usually are like with white men or Japanese men, and there's no female characters. They're all sexualized, and I don't really see black or Mexican characters in these games.
Well, yeah, that's been a lot of a controversy, a lot of bone of contention around to people like Anita Sarkeesian in recent years. Although I think in recent years they have started to make more of an effort to make their characters to diversify their characters. I mean, okay, there have been female leads in video games, Lara Croft for one, Jill Valentine from Resident Evil many times. And unlike Lara Croft, Jill Valentine isn't overtly sexualized or anything. But most recently, I don't know if you saw this, going back to the subject of people complain video games are too political nowadays. This video game called Starfield that has come out.
What are they saying about it? I've heard of Starlink, but not Starfield.
Starfield. It's only available on PC and Xbox because Microsoft have bought a rights to Bethesda, so no one who owns a PlayStation is getting anything by Bethesda. Thank you very fucking much, cunts. What were they going to...
Bethesda done Blink.
Some stupid fucking twat on YouTube. I can't remember what they... was pissing and moaning that you can choose your character's pronouns in Starfield.
Oh, if they're making a big deal about that, if they're doing it for hits, I think some of these people are just doing it for the thrill of some hits that they don't believe it. But if they are believing it, like, move on. There's a lot more bigger issues out there, like poverty, how expensive games are.
Heel versus baby faces. That was the name of Heels versus Babyface.
That super name is channel. That?
Well, it's just he's wrestling twat. Probably just obsessed about wrestling. Yeah. But what was I going to talk about? Went had a huge rant online on YouTube about the use of freaking pronouns, and it's a little overblown. Just to say, it's like, and he's British, so not great for my national pride.
But we've got Piers Morgan. He gets on a tizzy about the most trivial stuff, like vegan sausage rolls.
Sausage rolls. Yeah, he's a cunt, but it's his brand. He's a cunt. I mean, pointing out that he's a cunt is not really worth fucking. It's just kind of complaining that water is wet. Wet. I mean. Yeah.
God help these people.
But talk about the most weird thing about these chuds is that, like, they say that modern feminists complain about first world problems, and then they go and bitch and moan about wokeness and video games. And it's just like, dude, video games have not suddenly become political. Political messages have always been inserted into video games in the past. You just didn't freaking notice. Hell, if you played Metal Gear Solid or any of the Metal Gear games, that like I did in the past, mostly the first Metal Gear Solid back when I was 14, there was massively anti-nuclear war, anti-military industrial complex, anti-government sort of mentation. Probably some anti-freaking American sentiment as well, judging by the fact that it was made by a Japanese guy who's probably not too happy about America nuking them.
No. Thank you, Konami.
Yeah, Hideo Kojima has only made it, but those are clearly political. And of course, let's face it, as you mentioned, the Call of Duty games, Modern Warfare, are just basically militarist propaganda. So, yeah.
I mean, at least Medal of Honor sort of stopped when it got too worse, but Call of Duty is really a big offender. The fact that these games are so popular, and I remember when Black Ops came out, it sold out in like hotcakes. I was like, oh. That's why I don't like trendy stuff, really. That's why I've never been on like Game of Thrones and Rick and Morty. But that's a side point. I know I was going to bring it up on Lara Croft as well. The only reason why I know about that character was because of Cineworld. They used to have a little disclaimer at the beginning saying, no smoking, get your concessions at the foyer. And there was a fake Lara Croft character that was waltzing around saying, welcome to Cineworld, which I thought was quite hilarious. And then, some of the game covers I remember when I was growing up, Conker's Bad Fur Day, that one was kind of like South Park. I did not know quite what to make of it because it looked like it was for children, but it certainly was not.
That's the whole point, is subverting expectations.
Twisted Metal was one which I never had a phobia of clowns, but I knew someone who I was standing with was scared shitless seeing the game cover for Twisted Metal on PS2. And he ran out of the game or game station when that happened. I'm a bit rambling on here, but you probably know.
I can remember actually one video game I played, which was two video games I played, which were subject to censorship. due to the whole Furman laws, Soul Blade, or Soul Edge as it's been called before, and Final Fantasy VIII basically had had nunchucks removed. I don't know why for that, but I mean, I remember Soul Blade had a 15 rating, I'm guessing for the use of weapons or some shit like that. But anyway, being from a BBFC, and one of the characters generally had nunchuck who has a weapon. For, if you don't know, Soul Blade is a Tekken-like beat-em-up game, like a 3D Street Fighter or something. Only this time your characters are using weapons rather than just using their regular fists. Anyway, yeah, one of the characters had nunchucks. Oh, that had to be changed for us. Thank you, James Furman, you fucking dick. And of course,
you never have too much of a good thing.
Apparently, the same had to be said for Final Fantasy VIII. I don't know why, so it didn't even have a BBFC rating on, and Furman had left by the time the freaking game came out, which would have meant that the nunchucks would have been fine, as they pretty much automatically overturned his policies on that as soon as he left. Oh, another one is Tenchu Stealth Assassins, where one of the which is a stealth-based ninja game, or action-adventure game, he plays a ninja in feudal Japan, and basically, yeah, using stealth to kill enemies. And he uses a variety of ninja weapons, and one of them is, of course, Shuriken. Well, and of course, that had an 18 rating over here, which meant the BBC got their hands on it, so the Shuriken had to be changed to some sort of throwing knife. As if that's any less dangerous. I mean, you can't make this shit up.
No, you were there to witness it. I mean, I didn't really see a lot of martial arts stuff back then, except for Rush Hour. And yeah, on the surface, it did seem quite silly and probably a little bit racist too, because it's, you know, East Asian weaponry. But yeah, I'm glad they got rid of that policy, because in all fairness, it's not the weapons that change the man. It's the man that changes the weapons.
If we go through all the policies we had back in Furman times that we've got rid of, that I'm glad to see the back of, we'll be here all day, so let's not go into that. But fucking hell, man.
Well, we'll blame Furman, or was it Robin Duvall? One of those people.
Tenchu came out in 1998, so it would have still been Furman. Furman left in very early 99. Final Fantasy VIII came out at the end of 1999, so, and again, not even rated by a BBFC, so I don't know why they felt the need to, distributors felt the need to make that that change to, I think it was a character, Sephi, who, yeah, had a three-pronged staff rather than nunchucku, but they did, and that was all there was to that, so ain't that great. But hey ho.
Well, I was going to bring up Robin Duvall. I might have to send a complaint to him, because I remember I was at the cinema in 03 and they had a trailer or an ad for a 15 certificate game. And it had the little circle that said 15 on the bottom of the screen. It was for Silent Hill 3 or Silent Hill 2. I did not sleep that night. That ad was terrifying. And there was also another ad that featured a car crash. It was from Think. And, oh, no, just, I wish I could have got that out of my 10 or so year old brain. I don't know if I told you that.
Yeah, I don't think you did. But to be honest,
they accidentally slipped in a 12A film, a 15 certificate ad for Silent Hill fucking 3.
That might have been less of his fault and more of a mistake as the cinema. But having said that, I mean, consider that just an experience to toughen you up, like me when I saw RoboCop at a very young age.
Also, because it was quite loud as well. I'll show you the ad afterwards.
The impact is much greater than the cinema. I do admit, but that's a little off topic because we're talking about video games.
Well, it's a video game, but I get what you mean.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, as we talk about video game based films, like how Lara Croft Tomb Raider had to be cut for its 12 rating, which I thought is pretty ridiculous considering the things they had to cut were just use of knives, which the main character doesn't even use, which certainly come a long way because the 2018 film, knives are very flippantly used and there's not a shred of footage was cut. And they're perfectly at 12A, so yeah. Yeah, it's nice to so they can actually move on. And like I say, most films based on video games are pretty shit.
I would agree with that too. I mean, Postal by Uwe Boll. I mean, I like that. That's it. I won't go on about Uwe Boll.
That is a
terrible.
That
filmmaker.
Is a very, yeah, very, very, very bad. Very bizarre one to claim as one you like, but you know what? My not to reason why you like what you like.
I'm the same person who thought Sex Lies the Potato Men was a funny movie.
Again, you like what you like. You're not a judge. Have we covered everything that we can cover? Because I know there's probably more things we can cover, but we could be here all day if we do that. So do we want to call it here?
I guess so, though. You know, I think we'll nip it in the bud. And I want to say thank you, Rob, for taking over for this podcast, just this instance, because as you could probably tell, my video game knowledge is kind of shit. But actually, I knew a lot more than I thought I knew, so I'll give some credit for that.
Well, you know what? I was happy to help you out, and I actually enjoyed introducing this one, so I may even want to do it more in the future, or I may even start my own podcast and host that one. Will I do that? I have no idea.
We'll call Tom. Yeah.
Well, I might speak to Tom about it. He's probably not even going to listen to this one. All right. Well, I guess that's that, really. So, yeah. What are your opinions on video games, your video game censorship or history with video games, or just comments on this podcast whatsoever? Do you think me and Mark have made some good points, or do you think we're a bunch of twats who are just talking absolute bollocks and should shut our fucking mouths? Comment below, let us know, to quote Jeremy Johns. And, well, I'll say peace out. Mark, do you want to give a sign-off?
I'll say so too. I get stuck with knives. Oh, sorry, that's another YouTube. But yeah, I'm actually probably the worst of one out of the two. I'm a bit fucked in the head. But it will let the comments decide for that and also the likes and retention. I always check it on a daily. But needless to say, thank you for listening. We don't know what we'll be talking about next time, but whatever it is, stay tuned.
Wait a minute.